This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with worldbuilding warrior Angeline Trevina,
planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line,
and formatting fireball Julia Scott.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing,
author life and business,
and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable. Welcome to episode 167 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. Today we are talking about all things holiday tropes.
Yay, Christmas!
The festive season! Okay, so before we get into our main topic, it's personal update time. How's your week been, guys?
It's going to be the same update as last time, just yeah, I've been watching lots of TV. I've been unwell a little bit because it's that time of year. And yeah, life, no writing, no reading, just TV. How terrible.
Yes. Yeah, mine is shockingly similar. I've also been ill this week because, like Julia said, it is that time of year. I have done some reading, but more TV, I'm not going to lie.
Show off.
Yeah.
Well, once again...
Oh, don't, please don't shove us up again, no. Holly.
We've been ill. This isn't fair.
I know, like, it's fine. You guys haven't, I mean, I was a bit run down last week, but I didn't get really ill.
She still wrote 150,000 words.
No. Yeah, my throat is still a little bit sore, so if I'm a bit croaky, that's why. But, yeah, no, what have I been doing? Well, I've been continuing to set things up and put things in motion for coaching. I have my first sort of beta client lined up. And I've had my coaching as well this week. And I've got some thinking to do.
Oh, no, not thinking.
It's all right. My number four is intellection. It's fine. and then singing and more singing. Lots of singing. It's all about music at the moment because Christmas concerts galore. So
I think I don't have much of an update because I don't have anything kind of on the horizon. I'm just kind of in a bit of a down moment, not in mood wise, but just in a bit of a restful moment, which I feel is necessary right now.
Yes.
So I'm just making excuses for my lack of productivity, which I shouldn't be, because we shouldn't have to be productive all the time. No. Should we, Shane?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say when you said it was terrible, you've been watching TV. It's not terrible. It's fine. And especially in the run-up to Christmas, everything's mental. Just, it's fine.
Also, I do consider it kind of refilling the creative bucket.
Mm. Well, so. That is a good excuse.
What? It's that true. Tone, Shane. That was a bit judgmental.
It's true.
No, I was just thinking I'm going to use that next week.
Yeah.
Right. So-
Because we'll be saying exactly the same thing.
I was refilling the creative well again.
Yeah. Oh, the well. That's the word, not bucket.
You can fill whatever you want. Bigger.
I have a smaller, you know, thing to fill. Yeah. Just a bucket.
Just a teacup.
Yes, the creative thimble.
Okay. So... That's our personal updates. So maybe in the new year we'll have a bit more to add.
I think so, but this time of year it's kind of understandable, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something I want to make sure I do before next week's episode, and you might want to as well, Julia, so it might be a task you can tick off, is re-listen. Or perhaps listen to the first time to our goal setting episode at the start of the year. to see what you said.
I'm not sure I want to, but sure. Did we set our word for the year? Because I still can't remember. Or did I figure out what it was? I can't remember.
I think we figured it out when we were talking.
Was it balance?
Oh, it was
I
think balance.
So. Yeah.
Failed.
But yeah, anyway. Maybe have a listen to that and see if we covered that.
Yeah, definitely. So we have no new patrons this week, but a huge thank you to all of our current patrons who sponsor the show. We appreciate all your support so much. Patrons get early access to episodes, exclusive access to our off-air banter, and the chance to join in with our monthly sessions of Sprints and Giggles, an evening where we do writing sprints, answer questions, and have a laugh. So if you'd like to join in and also support the show, you can do so for just £3 a month at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter or join in the Facebook group to get the link for the Unstoppable Authors Christmas Party, which is on the 17th of December at 8 p.m. GMT on Zoom. Join us for a festive quiz and some holiday fun.
A not too difficult quiz.
I did change the wording on that.
Not too taxing.
I'm not making any promises.
Please, some easy questions. I don't have the brain power at the end of the year for this kind of, you know.
It's fine.
And I love to win. So.
I tell you what, I'll make a music round. Okay. All about Christmas music. Yeah, that should be all right.
Okay. Perhaps.
We'll find out when we get into this week's topic, won't we?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Okay, so today we are talking about Christmas / holiday season tropes. So let's start with a quick recap for our listeners and get some definitions laid out there for anyone who doesn't quite know what we mean. What are tropes and why are they a good thing?
Go for it, Shane.
Yes. So tropes are the expected things that one should include in their genre. So a popular one in romance is enemies to lovers. Popular trope in urban fantasy is your snarky heroine, for example. So they're kind of the things that readers expect from the genre. And then you can veer too far into cliche. So if you write crime and you have a loner detective who's also a divorced alcoholic with a drug problem on the side, you've probably veered a little bit into cliche territory.
Yeah.
So a recurring theme.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And why are they a good thing, Holly?
Because it's how you signal to the reader what your book is going to be like. Because, and we will get into this in more detail in the episode, readers actually like familiarity. So they want to know that what they're getting is something they recognise. And readers, particularly romance readers, but really across all genres, will have certain tropes that they are particularly drawn to. So for example, for myself as a reader, I'm a real sucker for found family. Like, give me a TV show, a movie, or a book with found family as like a core component and I will probably love it. So yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you are including tropes. You want to know what your the expected tropes of your genre are. They are a good thing. They are not something to be feared. So we're going to embrace the trope today and talk about what tropes we might find in winter, Christmas, festive season type books. So why don't we kick things off with talking about genres? So what genres do we typically associate with books at this time of year?
Romance. Fluffy, fireside, snowing outside books.
Yes.
Indeed.
And
dystopian, horror, disturbing, yes. Foggy, dark, icy, misery.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, it's exactly what we talked about last week, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it is.
So those are the primary ones, but I'm sure that you can fit this kind of topic in any genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you You might have like contemporary comedy or chick lit that's distinct from romance, but that might be set around this time of year.
I've never seen a Christmas sci-fi, to be fair.
No.
But then maybe I wasn't looking hard enough. Or maybe I should write one.
Maybe that's your next thing.
Yeah. Maybe it is. Ready for next Christmas, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, it's that, like, I know we're sort of half joking, but maybe there's a reason that doesn't exist. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a really underserved niche that actually
maybe
has
it's not
thousands
good enough reason.
Of readers that are desperate for stories like that. Maybe.
Yeah, Christmas in space. Why not? Yeah.
Market research needed.
That's an anthology title in the making.
Right. Stop giving Julia ideas.
I'm full of ideas now. I can't wait.
Oh dear. Okay, so we did cover setting last week in our world building episode in quite a bit of detail. So we will just give a quick nod to some setting tropes to think about. But do go and listen to last week's episode if you missed it, because we talked about this in quite a lot of detail. So what kind of setting tropes might you find in winter / Christmas books?
Snow. Of course.
Snow.
All
the snow.
The snow.
Yeah. Snow storms in particular.
An obstacle particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a fluffy book or a horror book.
Yep.
Snow is an obstacle. Yeah.
And linked to that is being trapped inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a snowstorm, be it a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Thriller or cozy.
Yes.
By way of an example, just this evening before we sat down to record, I watched with my family Daddy's Home 2, which is a Christmas film. And at the end, sort of the climax of the film, they're stuck inside a like multiplex cinema with a raging snowstorm outside. They can't go out. And there's hundreds of people inside this cinema complex. And it's a comedy. It's a, you know, family Christmas, quite slapstick comedy. But there you go. You've got trapped inside snowstorm. There you go. So it can appear in any kind of genre.
I've just realised I have a snowstorm in book 3 and I've only just remembered.
Writing it was a bit of a blur.
Oh my god, it was. Clearly traumatised and I've blocked it from my memory.
Indeed. And another common setting trope is small town. Think of all the movies and books that exist focused on that trope. Where everyone knows each other and everyone goes to the local bar or diner and knows the person behind the bar, you know, and I like that trope, actually. That's probably one of my favourite, like, cosy type tropes. Yeah.
Is it because you want to live in a small town and you want that lifestyle?
No.
Why is it then?
I don't
know.
Do
you like the idea of community?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I do.
Community.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just find it interesting kind of figuring out why people like tropes, the tropes that they like, and whether it's because it's something they want for themselves or that they feel has been lacking from their life.
Yeah. I think it's about the connections and relationships. Okay. So speaking of connections and relationships, characters. So there are lots of character tropes that are abound this time of year, and we're going to talk about some of them. So I will kick things off with one of my favourites, which is the bad Santa trope. They, you know, the kind of like drunken, you know.
I think I avoid this trope. Like, I'm trying to think of any movie that I've watched that has a bad Santa, and I can't think of a single one.
No.
Santa's the good guy. Me. I'd be very distressed to watch a movie with a bad Santa.
Yeah, fair. I only like it when it's done in a very comedic way. So
yes, not in a serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's
and
not...
I found the movie Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton too dark. I didn't enjoy that.
Just Santa with a machine gun just disturbs me a little bit. I think I saw a book cover once with that on, and I'm like, no, definitely not.
Fair enough. But for some people, that would be a one-click must-have.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not right. I'm saying I just wouldn't, just personally.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes. Okay, what other character tropes might we find?
So character arc tropes. Redemption is big at Christmas time. So, A Christmas Carol is the classic example, but you'll see it in a lot of books at Christmas. Redemption, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know why that attracts so many people at this time of year. Maybe we've all been horrible, horrible humans, and we need to redeem ourselves.
Well, it's a type of reflection, isn't it?
I was going to say, at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because it's a time of hope as well, and when you think about sort of the origins of the Midwinter Festival, it's all about rebirth and new beginnings, which obviously is what redemption is about as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the Christian element of Christmas, you know, there's quite a lot of hope and, you know, redemption of the Saviour coming to save us all.
Indeed. Yes. But yeah, I mean, Shane, you mentioned Christmas Carol. So the Grinch / Scrooge trope, the character who is, you know, bah humbug, hates Christmas, who will, of course, by the end of the story, have been turned around and embrace the Christmas spirit. his heart will have grown 3 sizes.
Yes.
but yeah, that's quite a common trope as well.
Yeah. And another is being alone at Christmas. A lot of books and movies that start out with the character being alone and struggling with it. And that's, you know, all about family and finding community by the end of it, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I think of many movies that happens in.
Mm-hmm.
Or Home Alone, which is a bit less like that. Accidentally alone and then has to protect himself.
Yeah, but then the family comes back together at the end, don't they? So you still have that.
And they're nicer to him because they realise they missed him. Ah, see.
There you go.
A bit of redemption.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. And kind of on a related note, the travelling home for Christmas, particularly to a big family, that's very, very common. You'll find that in, I don't know, probably 90% of Christmas films, including also Home Alone, where the mum is trying to get home. Yeah.
Lots of family and community related things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's what Christmas is about for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to ask why is that? Why do we like these character tropes?
That's why. It's the theme of this time of year. Is getting together.
Yep. Okay, so what kind of plot tropes do we see? These may be connected to character tropes, but may stand alone as well. Christmas miracle. Obviously, you've got some really bold right there in the title, like Miracle on 34th Street. But it might be a bit more subtle. And that, again, loads of examples of this, but something amazing and unbelievable, possibly magical, happening at Christmas.
Love a bit of Christmas magic.
Yeah. And there's wishes coming true. And yeah, I like a bit of that. A bit of uplifting hope and joy.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Another one is saving Christmas. So everything's going wrong and someone needs to save it.
Mm-hmm. Like, Julia, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Never seen it.
I know.
Got the word nightmare in it. I know. Sorry. I did promise someone I'd watch that once and then I forgot.
Yeah, that was me.
That's you. Oh, no. Okay. Did I promise you last year?
Yeah, I think so.
No.
I
just admitted it.
I'm very confident that I sent you a link to a video of just the clip of What's This?
Oh, I watched that.
You did watch that. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. But that didn't tempt you to watch the whole film.
No, he's a skeleton.
Oh, he wears a Santa outfit.
You can dress him up as much as you like. He's still a skeleton.
And that is the lesson he learns in the film. Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, whoops.
No, I don't need to watch it. Yay.
But they have to say, you know, Christmas is ruined and they have to save Christmas at the end. And it's lovely.
I've not seen The Grinch either.
Oh, what?
I know. Should we just, did someone invite me over and make me watch these movies? I don't know.
The Grinch is the best Christmas movie ever. The Jim Carrey version, not the...
Ever?
Remake. Yeah, ever.
Ever?
Ever.
More than Elf?
Yes.
No.
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 Yes.
I mean, it's in my top five, oh. Sure, but...
Wow.
It's the little who's in that with the big teeth. It's just adorable. Little Cindy Lou Who.
Okay, I might try and branch out this year.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay. The saving Christmas trope, anyway,
sorry.
Is quite often paired with the Grinch. Anything else to say on that?
Yes. Happily Ever After, not necessarily just in a romance sense, but most Christmas movies, books, etc. If we're going down the cozy route.
Which we should.
End happily. So, yeah, definitely happy ever after, whether romantically or not.
There aren't many Christmas movies that end in misery and disaster. They may kind of have that in it, but there will be something redeeming.
Yeah. Which actually brings me quite neatly onto the next example, which is the better if not born trope, which is obviously like It's a Wonderful Life. Mm. And that can get... Julia's shaking her head.
I've never seen it.
You wouldn't like it. It's quite sad.
Well, I can handle sad and scary things. Just I have a limit, that's all.
Yeah. But yeah, so the whole idea behind this trope obviously is the main character gets a glimpse of what life would have been like for their loved ones had they never been born. So they'll see how things would be different, usually how things would be worse, which then convinces them that it's better that they are around. So there's usually an upbeat ending.
Happy.
Yes.
Sounds sad.
Yeah, but you know, I think there's a space for that, you know, and it's that kind of that dark moment, and you get that in all kinds of genres, even in comedies and romances, you get that kind of the sadness that all is lost, like, oh, you know, the couple are not going to get together because something awful has happened and kept them apart, or you know, the family all fall out with each other or whatever it is. There's some unpleasantness that causes sadness that sets up then the happy ending. The coming back from that.
I do like the trope where a character gets to go back in time to see what would happen if they'd made a different choice. Mm. Like The Family Man with Nick Cage. I don't know if either of you have seen that.
No.
That's Christmas, winter-based. I think it's called The Family Man. But he doesn't go back in time. He stays in the same time, but it's as though he'd made a different decision back in time to have stayed with the girlfriend he was with, and then he becomes a family man instead of the cold businessman he was in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually loses all that and goes back to his original life and is like, oh, and realizes what he missed. So I like that trope.
Mm.
Even though you can't go to the past and change anything.
No, but how many of us do spend time imagining that?
It's probably quite a few.
Definitely writers anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Another plot trope would be workplace romance. It's a very fluffy one. You know, the Christmas party at work.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Christmas work trip.
Yep.
Yep.
Or having to work at Christmas when they don't want to and they're stuck with their colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all of that. Often connected again to the Saving Christmas trope is the Kick-Ass Christmas, the action movie. As we all know, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
It's not a Christmas movie, and I will die on this hill. No!
Ho, ho, ho!
Just because he says something Christmas-related does not make it a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas party.
It is a Christmas movie.
Mm. It brings a big teddy bear. It's a Christmas party gone very wrong.
Very, very wrong.
I don't know.
Do you know what? I think this should be the poll on our Spotify polls when we put this episode up.
Okay.
Do you think Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Yes.
All right. Deal. We'll let the public speak.
Yes, please, let's.
I mean, Die Hard 2 has snow.
So?
Mm.
And trapped inside because they're trapped in an airport. There
okay, my go. Book, my third book has snow. My first book, in fact, all three books have snow. Are they Christmas books?
Yes.
Great. I shall market them as such. Put little Christmas hats on the cover instead.
Limited edition. I love it. Do it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh dear, there are loads and loads of sort of action movies set at Christmas, aren't there? There's like is it Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Long Kiss Goodnight as well, I think, and what else? There's loads, and like Christmas episodes of TV shows quite often have that sort of, you know, having to solve a problem, like, you know, that kind of setup. So there's absolutely loads. This is not an exhaustive list. This is like just scratching the surface of how many holiday tropes there are. So do your research, watch a load of Christmas movies, I think is what we're saying, right?
And start writing now, ready for next December.
Yeah.
You'd have a Christmas book out. I think I might. Christmas in space.
Yep.
Watch this space.
Ah, bubble.
Oh, good.
So what are some of our personal favourite festive tropes? You've got to think about it.
Should have thought about it before we started.
Yes. I do like the family conflict, which I think we've kind of touched on in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like a good bit of tension at Christmas. Not in real life, obviously. I could do without that. But in my fiction, tension is always great. And you can get some really good micro tension, specifically from family conflict at Christmas.
Whether I do
that's
like
a trope or not, I don't know. But yeah.
It is now.
Yeah.
I do like Saving Christmas. And it's all going to go wrong, and oh, it's going to be a terrible Christmas, but then it's amazing at the end and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like, I know I already said small town, but I just, I really like that. The little community.
You watch all the Hallmark movies.
Yeah. Yeah, sadly I do. One of my guilty pleasures. It's so cheesy and awful, but it's that so bad it's good. is A Castle for Christmas.
Oh, I've not seen that.
It's Cary Elwes and Brooke Shields. It's
old school.
Yeah, but it's modern, but they're older. It's,
oh, okay.
Them as mature people in the leading roles, which is also partly why I like it, because there's so many... Yes. Young people, it's nice to see people more my own age. Oh no, I'm not quite as old as them, I better say that. But yeah, it's really sweet, and it's this little Scottish village and a castle. It's not really a castle, a big house.
How many Christmas movies have you watched so far this year, this December?
Yeah, not that many yet. I think I'm only on 3. Oh, no, because I watched a couple before December, so I think I'm on 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched any this year. Yeah.
Shane.
Get to it. There's a lot to get through.
I have a list in my bullet journal. Obviously.
What's your top? You do. What's the Christmas movie you have to watch?
Elf.
Obviously.
Yeah, I don't know about movie. I have to watch the original Gavin and Stacey Christmas special. That's a Christmas Eve tradition.
Oh,
that's cool. Our Christmas Eve tradition is the Muppets Christmas Carol. Just has to be done. Used to terrify my kids. They're sensitive like I am.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the spirit of
terrifying.
Christmas yet to come. Yeah. Okay. So another very popular trope within Christmas movies is Christmas music, which is in itself a trope it's officially recognized on tvtropes.com. And we're going to segue a little bit and talk about music specifically. So why would we do that, guys? Why are we talking about Christmas music on a writing podcast?
Because songs can tell a story.
Yes. Yes, they can. And we might have songwriters among our listeners, in fact. So
I'm a songwriter.
You go.
Yeah.
You
go. I've never written a Christmas song, though. No, I feel like I should.
I feel like you should. Yeah.
You need to write the soundtrack to Christmas in Space.
Oh, it's a concept album now.
Yeah, it's going to be. Oh, yeah.
I like it. So yeah, we can learn from this medium, and there is a lot to learn. All comes back to genre and tropes again. So Christmas songs are packed full of tropes. All right, what are some of our favorite Christmas songs or festive songs, and why?
One of my favorites is The Fairy Tale of New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it really tells a story. Like, if you talk about how Christmas songs tell stories, you immediately think of that one first.
Yeah.
Because it is so bizarre and so un-Christmassy.
Yeah.
She's basically telling her partner how much she hates him and wishes he wasn't there.
Yeah. And he gives as good as, you know.
Well, if you're going to understand what he's saying, you'd have to read the lyrics online. Because there is no way to understand what that guy is saying. Have you seen the Michael McIntyre sketch of him doing that song?
No.
You have to look it up. It's hilarious.
Okay.
But that song, definitely.
Yeah. That was going to be my go-to as well.
Mm.
Sorry, I stole it.
That's fine. It's a great song.
Well, no, you have to think of another. Are you a Christmas song kind of person, Shane?
Yeah, for about the first 5 days. And then I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I
can't listen to anymore. No more. I think, I don't know.
I'm just going to open my Christmas Spotify playlist.
More ideas. Yeah, I do have a big soft spot for Last Christmas.
Oh, and I, no.
No, I know. It's really overplayed. And I have to confess, I have been known to deliberately try to, like, Whamageddon people. I'm really sorry.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. I'm usually too late, though. People have already heard it by the time I hit them with it, so yeah.
I haven't heard it yet.
Really?
Yeah.
I
try and avoid that song as much as possible. Not because it's overplayed, because I hate it. Because it's so miserable. It's just like Christmas should be all about love and family and yay. And this one's just like, I gave you my heart and you gave it away. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but there's the optimism.
Where?
Where? Next year I'll give it to someone. What is it? Better?
Special.
But you just know that's going to end in tears as well.
Someone
you
else.
Just know. Yeah, but come on.
Anyone else.
Relationships aren't that good, are they? Sorry.
But when it, you know, we're talking about storytelling, it tells a story.
Oh, it does, but I still don't like it. It's not a cheerful story.
No. And I will say there's a film called Last Christmas, which obviously plays on the song. So it's a trope within the film. And I watched it last year and it made me cry so, so much. It's like super sad. Really, really sad. But really good. Look, amazing storytelling. Brilliant twist. Oh, just spectacularly good, but very sad.
Okay, so my other Christmas song, I've got it. And it is a trope that we've mentioned, Driving Home for Christmas. Mm. Fantastic. Fantastic Chris Rea. Christmas song. Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Obviously.
Tells a very in-depth story about Rudolph being bullied by the other reindeer.
Yeah.
Santa picking him anyway. Yes.
Yeah. I also enjoy, it's an American song, so I don't know if it's very popular over here, and I don't know whether you've heard it, but Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
I have heard it.
I love that. Just because it's for the comedy value. I know it's a bit sad thing to think of, but something a bit different from last Christmas, isn't it?
So. Yeah, sure. I really like the sequel to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is Run, Run, Rudolph.
Yeah. Yes.
Originally a Chuck Berry song, but I prefer the Kelly Clarkson version. And yeah, that's telling the story of Rudolph saving the day and getting everyone's Christmas presents, which is cool. And I'm singing it at a Christmas concert on Sunday. And I'm really excited.
Make sure someone records it. I want to hear.
Yeah, yes. I will.
Another one I like is, what's it called? Oh no, my brain. The song with two people, and everyone says it's creepy.
Oh, it's Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
No, that's not right. For somebody who likes light and fluffy, that is not.
No, I like it too. And
until someone points out how kind of creepy and disturbing it actually is.
But it's not. It's
no, it is.
No, seriously. She wants to stay. And she's reeling off all the reasons why society says she shouldn't, that she'll be judged, and she'll, you know, but she really wants to, and that's why she does in the end. I mean, there's just that one line where he says, get over that holdout. I don't like that line. But aside from that, no, it's quite a powerful song about like how women
are. Yeah, because she says
sexuality is weird.
Oh yeah, definitely. She said there's bound to be talk tomorrow. At least there will be plenty implied. So it is about what other people think of her. She wants to stay.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. And I know Angeline thinks that too. So she may not be here today, but I'm representing her views.
Yeah, Shane, you're overruled.
The women have spoken.
The women have spoken.
I take a back seat. I'll go with it.
Oh, dear.
Okay, all right, so moving on. We've just talked about some of our favorite songs, right? And a couple of them are covers or have been covered hundreds of times. They're all at least 20 years old, right? So why is it that only a small number of new festive songs come along and stick around to join like the canon of classic songs?
I don't know the answer to this, because I've often wondered this, like, why do we listen to the same ones over and over? And like, there are so many covers.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Bublé just keeps coming back. And so does Mariah Carey. But I genuinely can't think why.
The only thing I can think of is because Christmas is a time for reflection, it's probably also a time for nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess those songs, for us at least, probably bring back childhood memories of Christmas, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's because we love familiarity. We love, it's nostalgia, yeah. And just every, you know, we think about like, oh, it's all the old songs. The old songs are the best. Sorry, just to quote Noddy Holder. But they're not, it's not like they all came out at once. It's one or two a year that have slowly added up to build up this catalogue. And that has never stopped. There's still one or two a year that will, or every couple of years, that then get added. So there are less newer songs, but it's actually a fairly linear cycle or process. But it's, you know, those songs that form like your childhood memory and memories and impressions of the season that you then have nostalgia for and that you want to keep listening to. So the next generation, you know, will probably have dropped maybe some of the older ones and have some of the newer ones in their personal canon, but there's huge overlap.
Mm.
So
what is it that makes a song stick? Is it the storytelling, or is it the catchiness of the lyrics or the melody?
Yeah, I think it's both.
Mm.
Yeah.
So a song that makes people feel something.
Mm.
Yeah. Whether it's nostalgia or joy, party feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The feels.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you end up with covers. That's why, you know, people like Michael Bublé have made a career out of covering Christmas songs.
He really has.
Yep.
Good for him.
Yeah. And, you know, like, Baby It's Cold Outside, how many times has that been remade by different people?
Me and my daughter were trying to find, we listened to as many different versions of that song as we could to decide which was the one we liked. Mm-hmm. There were so many.
Mm.
It took a while to decide.
Yeah.
What did you decide?
We decided on the Brett Eldridge and Meghan Trainor version, actually.
Oh. I don't think I've heard that one.
It's good. The Idina Menzel
mm-hmm.
version. I don't like her voice outside of Frozen. I don't know what it is, but it just bothers me for some reason.
I think I've worked out what's put me off that song. The Tom Jones and Kerris Matthews version is extremely creepy.
Oh, it's because he's an old guy and she's a young lady.
It's just clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just have nostalgia for that version. And particularly, so when I was at university, there was a bar on campus that had a karaoke night, and these two guys who were like a year or two above me used to get up and do that every karaoke night. It didn't have to be Christmas.
Oh gosh.
And they would sing it, and one of them did the best impersonation of Kerris Matthews for a great big like 21-year-old bloke, like with a major beer cut. It, absolutely spectacular. But you know, I was at uni in Wales, so Kerris is like,
oh right, sure,
she's the bomb, right? And it was so hilarious, and totally changed my perception of that song in the best way possible. So I think, yeah, I have big nostalgia for that version because of that. So, yeah. but I think the version on Glee is quite sweet because it's two guys and it's,
I've made my choice. I'm sticking with it. Meghan Trainor, is it?
Fair enough. Okay, so why do we love familiarity, especially at this time of year?
Because.
Just because.
It's because.
No, my brain was working, just the words wouldn't follow, okay? Been a long week of watching TV.
Yes. Very taxing.
Yeah. I think familiarity is a branch of safety, isn't it? So everyone wants to feel safe this time of year, especially with winter. I think that's why Christmas is this time of year as well. And the winter festivals and Yule and what it's all based off of is because everyone was terrified that the sun wouldn't come back. And so they wanted safety and security and things to bring them joy. So familiarity, brings safety in it. And it's nostalgia reminder of times when things were nice and easier when you were a kid.
Mm.
For most people.
Yes.
Not all people.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so we did touch on this about a moment ago, and we said about what makes a hit happen. And it's, you know, the storytelling and so on. And it comes back to tropes, doesn't it? So, and I said at the start of this section, you find loads of tropes in Christmas music. And is all the same tropes that you find in the films. It's all the same things.
Yep.
But yeah, what tropes might we see in songs?
Snow.
Yeah.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Walking in the winter wonderland.
Yep.
Jane, you've got to sing.
Dreaming now. Of a I white do not have Christmas.
To sing. Nobody wants to hear me sing.
New love.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was going to say the romance tropes. The biggest, most recognisable Christmas song ever. All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's all about
also
love.
Also overplayed.
Well, yes, but for a reason. Because people love love. Most yeah. people. Not all people.
For a more modern example of the same trope, the Girls Aloud, Not Tonight Santa. You don't know it, do you? Oh, my goodness. It's
I'm into the classics.
Yeah, yes. it's a bit. A little bit trashy, but it's fun.
I won't tell Girls Aloud you said that.
Yeah.
No, please don't. I know a member of Girls Aloud. We were we do like drama festivals and stuff when we were kids. So
cool.
Yeah.
Definitely don't tell Girls Aloud.
She probably wouldn't remember me. Like she was the girl who always won everything, so everyone knew who she was. But yeah, she probably wouldn't remember me. Anyway, lost love and being alone. Last Christmas, gave him my heart. Very next day, gave it away. I mean, it's harsh, but
tell me what tropes are in Fairy Tale of New York.
Well,
lost love and being alone.
Yeah,
the Grinch.
Yeah. Yes, the bitter side of Christmas for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but also bells are a big yes. Christmas trope. The bells yes. are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Oh, I love that song so much.
I think it's brilliant because it seems like it's happy, and that chorus that everyone knows and everyone sings,
yeah.
you know, drunkenly swaying, it feels like it's really upbeat. And then when you listen to the verses, you're like, hang on a minute.
Yeah. You scumbag, you maggot. I'm not going to say the rest because then yeah. the podcast will get blocked. But
that's the one.
Oh, yes. Dear. Okay, another trope is family. There's a lot of family joy in there. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Mm. It's the most wonderful. I could just sing all these all day. I love Christmas songs.
And Shane's favourite, Driving Home for Christmas.
Yes, the trope in itself, right yep. there in the title.
Yep. and parties.
Parties.
Lots of songs about parties, aren't there?
And trees, obviously.
And I think it's probably a trope in its own right, but it's
your mic's being... Your mic just cut out. It was like, no, we are not hearing. We're not hearing this.
Too much. Okay.
Fine. Yes. No, that it would have been good had we heard it.
Yes. Yes.
Did you literally hear nothing?
We heard a few little bits.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And... Yeah, we can't forget to mention carols. So there are lots of Christmas songs that are about spirituality, specifically Christianity,
mm-hmm.
But lots of which tell a story. I like, what's the spaceman one?
Oh, yeah. Christa Berg, Spaceman yeah. Come Travelling.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that one because it's so random. Because it's literally about an alien.
Yeah.
Experiencing the nativity story. It's just the most random thing ever. I think that's why I like it, and because it's sci-fi.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. I like Jethro Tull, Solstice Bells.
Oh, I've not heard that.
Mm. Yeah.
I love Carol of the Bells, which just reminds me of Home Alone so much, but...
That is also a trope on TV Tropes, is... That the presence of that music, Carol of Bells, is often used in action sequences in Christmas movies.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, it's very recognisable.
I think Silent Night is a classic carol.
I love Silent Night. Some people hate that song, but...
No, it's brilliant.
It's very... Go on.
It makes me tear up.
Mm.
I get quite sad. But it's like happy sad. Is that... Yeah.
It's a very peaceful song, I find.
Mm. Well, that's quite a nice note to end on.
It is.
So, yeah, just to wrap up our topic, tropes are great.
Yeah.
And
Christmas is great.
Christmas is great. Yeah. Don't be scared of tropes. If you are writing something Christmassy, you need to pack it with loads of really great tropes because people love them.
And snow.
Yes, and snow, of course. And the biggest takeaway is that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. No.
Yeah, of course that would be the biggest takeaway.
Not that I'm trying to influence the poll in any way at all, but it is a Christmas movie.
Ho, 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 now I have a machine gun.
Exactly.
I mean, it's all there.
That's the kind of Christmas I want.
Is it? Well, that's a bit worrying. I'm going to warn your family.
Running barefoot across broken glass. Yeah, that's top of my list of things to do at Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just change it up a bit, you know. Turkey's getting a bit old.
Oh my gosh. Is that the one where his daughter's hanging off a crane? Or is that number two?
I don't remember that.
It's all he has to save his daughter. She's hanging off a crane.
I think that might be one of the later ones. It might be the second one.
I think it might be the second one, possibly.
Yeah. Because she's not there in the first one. First one's just in the tower.
Mm.
So, yeah, it might be with Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go watch it now. No, except I can't because we've got Traitors to watch, Shane. We've got Traitors to watch.
I know.
Right, let's wrap this up quick. Right, okay. All right, I have a would you rather question for you.
Oh, I forgot about this. I forget every time.
I never forget. I mentally prepare myself every time.
It's a bit of an obvious one, I'm afraid. And so obvious, I did do a quick check back through all of our previous December episodes to check that we hadn't had this before. And we haven't. Okay. I don't know how. It's long overdue. Would you rather it was Christmas every day or never Christmas?
Always winter, but never Christmas.
Right.
Oh, that's tricky. I would... Oh, man. I would probably say never Christmas. Because as much as I love Christmas, it's pretty stressful. And I think it could get old real quick.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have a bit more variety in life than just Christmas every day. The songs would get on your nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine going to the supermarket and then playing Christmas songs every day. You'd lose your mind.
Yeah. Although I never go to supermarkets.
Good for you.
Nice.
But any shop, it's not just supermarkets, is it? It's shop.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the nice things about Christmas, the way it is now, is that you have to wait all year for those special things, those special foods, or the traditions and the movies and the music. And it's like you're kind of waiting and anticipating it. So.
Yeah, it would lose the nostalgia for sure. You'd just be like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Not, you know, as much, I like Christmas pudding as much as the next person, but I don't want to eat it 365 days a year, you know.
I don't want to cook it.
No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you think, as it is, you have leftovers for a week. So if you're making a fresh one every day, oh my God. I mean, you'd learn to scale it down, wouldn't you? You'd just have, you'd have, like, just slices of supermarket turkey rather than a whole turkey, you know. And
have you ever had a Christmas day where you've had something different for Christmas?
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I've done it before. I was a kid as well, and my grandparents had gone to Australia to visit other family for Christmas. And so it was just the four of us, me, my sister and my parents, and we had a fondue, like a meat fondue.
Wow.
For Christmas dinner. And it was so weird. I was like, this just isn't right. No, we never did it again.
No.
That's just bizarre anyway.
My family are kind of weird.
That's a strange one. Yeah.
Yeah.
The closest I've come to doing something different is once or twice I've done like a quite a big gammon instead of a turkey, like with nice, like a clementine glaze and stuff like that, like nice, fancy.
I'm not a fan of gammon, but we always have Christmas ham. Always good. Honey glazed Christmas ham.
I'm getting
hungry. Now I'm hungry.
I think we're all agreed, aren't we, that we'd rather it was never Christmas.
Never Christmas.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sad, though.
Yeah. But you could still celebrate the winter solstice.
Yes. Yeah, you could.
Just see, there's a loophole.
We just have to make new traditions that relate to that instead of the mishmash of traditions we have now. Because ultimately, they come from very different places, all the traditions.
Yeah.
You do.
I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to join us for sprints and giggles and get all the other benefits, you can do so over at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
And sign up for our newsletter to make sure you don't miss all the info about the Unstoppable Authors Christmas party on the 17th of December. Don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review. And Shane's not going to say it.
Oh, man.
It's all right. I'll do it.
Thanks. My screen literally died at that last second.
So our very professional ending. Don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors.